Thank you for tuning in to an Abundant Life Worship Center podcast. You're listening to a message from our series on joy. Take what you learn from this message, practice it, and walk in joy. And our key verse comes from Isaiah chapter 55 and 11 to 13. And we have specifically been looking at verse 12, so I'm going to read verse 12. You will go out in joy and be led forward in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And we explain how this verse is God talking to his people Israel. They were actually in captivity at the time, but he was telling them, I'm about to change it around, and you are about to have immense joy, such joy that the very creation will be rejoicing when you walk by. That's a lot of joy. The hills singing, the trees clapping their hands. And when the verse came, I believed God was speaking and saying, I'm bringing the church into great joy. Individually, each of us, but also as a church. He was going to give us joy. And we talked about the different things that can bring joy and how creation rejoices all the time because of who God is. We talked about the fact that creation rejoices every time someone gives their life to Christ. All of heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice. God wants to give you deep joy. He wants us to have a foundation of joy where we are always in joy, even though difficulties, things that make us weep will come into the foundation, or as I shared, the tub or pool of joy. But it is us in joy and other things coming in, not the other way around. So we talked about how God wants us to always be in joy. I gave you some just specific things quickly about how you can live daily in joy. And today I want to specifically look at this point. And it is this, that renewing our minds brings joy. So today's message, renewing our minds brings joy. Now, obviously, a little bit of what we've already been doing is looking at this, and that's the idea of write down what you're thankful for. Say it out loud. I'm already giving you a step, an idea of how to renew your mind. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 to 9. Paul, speaking to the church at Philippi, tells them what we're about to talk about. Verse 4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. All right, this is an interesting portion of Scripture, and it says so much in those verses that I've just read. And what we are talking about today, renewing our minds, Paul in Philippians is giving them a step of how this works. He tells them you need to always be in joy, but he doesn't leave them there. He gives them some idea of how to do it. He talks about praying. He talks about being thankful. And then he says, finally, do this. Think about these things. If anything is admirable, if anything is noble, if anything is right, what is pure, what is lovely, think about these things. He is telling them, hey, I want you to be in joy. Start thinking about these kinds of things. And he ends off by saying, put it into practice. In other words, practice what I'm telling you. Did you know that if you're not in the habit of being thankful, if you're not in the habit of thinking about good things and praiseworthy things, if you're not in the habit of that, then you need to change your habit and you need to practice at it. Practicing something isn't always easy, it isn't always fun, but it will produce something beautiful if you practice long enough. Has anybody here ever practiced an instrument? Anybody here ever practiced guitar? Yeah, a few people? Practicing something is important. And if you've ever practiced a guitar or you've seen kids practicing a piano or a guitar, when they start, it's difficult. I remember learning the guitar and, you know, they show you usually first a D chord or A chord. Put your fingers here, here, and here. And you're trying to make your fingers go. They don't want to go there. And then you finally get your fingers on it and you're going to strum the guitar and it's going to sound like, you know, the worship team. And you go to strum that guitar and it goes, I remember teaching our youngest her first chord on the guitar. And she did that. She got her fingers in there and she went, pluck, pluck, and she looked at me, this guitar doesn't work. But with practice, we can make something beautiful. For us as well, possibly our minds, our ideas are that we think of what's not working. We think of what's terrible or we think of what's disastrous. And our culture has at times caused us to feel that way. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Listen how it's worded in the Passion Translation. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you, surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifice and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Now, verse 2, listen. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but inwardly be transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. The culture we live in tends towards the negative or the dramatic or the catastrophes. If you're on social media or you have a TV, you know that often people are drawn to the negative. And even our news can often focus on the negative because they need a headline that people want to hear. I was listening to somebody and they were saying that even news stations, you've got to understand that they put out there what people will hear. And because of our online social media and YouTube and those things, the more likes or people that follow, it actually brings in more money because more people will advertise through your site. So even trusted news sites need people to like their articles. Does that make sense? So they choose headlines that will get you to click. But God says we shouldn't be that way. But you know what? Without realizing, because the culture we're in, sometimes we also get that way, where our thoughts are on what's wrong and what's negative. I read an article, and it's a pastor who puts out articles and different things online, and he said it's unfortunate, but he can put out an article, and the title he gives it will determine how many people read it, because you can tell how many people have gone on and read it. And he said, it's unfortunate, but even in the Christian world, because a lot of people who read his articles are other pastors or Christians, he said if he puts a negative title on the very same article, way more people read it. Wow. So our culture, and even the culture we're in, is sometimes to the negative, and that's what we think about, and that's what we hear, and it changes who we are. And God says he wants our minds to be focused on what is good and pure and lovely. Something I want to impress upon you is that Paul doesn't say what not to think about. He says what you should think about. And that is, of course, a really good idea because, let's face it, let me give you an example. So I'm going to tell everybody here right now, do not think about the number 9. You guys, do not think about the number 9. Everybody over here, you cannot think about the number 9. Don't think about the number 9. Okay. Who is not thinking about the number 9 right now? Well, everybody is. Because I said, don't think about the number 9. The only way to change what you're thinking about is to think about something different, something good. So, how about you think about the number 7? The number 7 is God's number. The number 7 is the number of completion. It's been fulfilled. It's time for a new start. So think about the number 7. Think about the number 7. What happens? You're thinking about the number 7 now. So we don't need to focus on all the don't think about this bad thing, don't think about that. Think about what Paul said. What is pure? What is right? About the good report. That's what you need to play around in your mind. Okay? If you choose to think and to let circulate in your mind what God is able to do, what he can do, what he wants to do, it changes. It's called having your mind renewed. The way we think determines who we are. I'm going to give you scripture for this, but the way we think determines who we are. Let me read it for you. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Now, most of Proverbs, just so you know, is Solomon giving wisdom to his sons, but he's inspired by the Lord. It's written down, and it was kept for each of us also to hear. And he's talking, and he says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so are they." In other words, what you're thinking about the most is who you are. Let me just give you an example. If you are always having angry thoughts, you're an angry person. If you're always having fearful thoughts, you're a fearful person. That's really who you are. Even if you're trying to fake it a little bit and not let anybody know, that's who you are. If you're always having loving thoughts, you're a loving person. If you're always having joyful thoughts, you're a joyful person. Maybe you're always having caring thoughts. You're a caring person. Are thoughts of helping other people? You're a helpful person. Honestly, what you think about is who you really are. I want to read you an article that I read online from Forbes.com. It's actually a business article, not written by a Christian, but I just want you to see something. And the article says this: "Your mind is very powerful, yet if you're like most people, you probably spend very little time reflecting on the way you think. After all, who thinks about thinking? But the way you think about yourself turns into your reality." And they go on to say this: "Your thoughts are a catalyst for self-perpetuating cycles. What you think directly influences how you feel and then how you behave." Did you catch that? What you think affects how you feel, which affects how you behave. Then, so she says this: "So if you think you're a failure, you'll feel like a failure. Then you'll act like a failure, which reinforces your belief that you must be a failure. I see this happen all the time in my therapy office. Someone will come in saying, I'm just not good enough to advance in my career. That assumption leads her to feel discouraged and causes her to put in less effort. The lack of effort prevents her from getting a promotion. Or someone will say, I'm really socially awkward. So when that individual goes to a social gathering, he stays in a corner by himself. When no one speaks to him, it reinforces belief that he must be socially awkward. What you think affects how you feel, which affects how you act, which will affect how you think and feel and act. I read that, you know, whether you agree or not with the article, I have found over and over that when people study and go in, they start finding truths that are already in your Bible. And sometimes it's good to hear it again from another source. What you think is who you are, and it affects how you act. The good news is Jesus died and paid the price for us to be renewed, for us to be made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is Christ, in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He wants to renew your mind even more than you and I do. Ephesians 5:25 to 27 says this. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. And then he goes on to explain how Christ loved the church. He gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Christ died to make you and I new. He died to forgive us, to totally wipe away that price that only he could pay, but he also died to make you and I new, brand new. With a renewed mind, people that are serving him. And interestingly, in this scripture, he tells us how he wants to make you new. He says he wants to sanctify and cleanse you. How is he going to do it? By the washing of the water of the word. How does God change and make you clean and new? And he does it from the inside out with his word. Now, I know I've been asking you to do things like, you know, write down what you're thankful for. And it's like, boy, the pastor's asking us to do a lot. Read the word. Read the word. This word has the ability to change you completely. But you got to read it. You got to let it get into you. It's like, I'll speak for the boys. When you were young, you were a kid, and your mom was like, wash your hands. It takes so much time, what's the point? Wash your hands. I mean, you could walk in the washroom, if you didn't turn the water on and put the soap, you could know it was a good idea, but if you never did it, it did you no good. Read the word. Read it like you wash your hands. I know you're all older now, you all wash your hands. Read it like you wash your hands. Because the world we live in, your hands are going to get dirty sometimes. It's just how it is. So read it. Wash. Can I say wash your heart? Because the world we live in, sometimes your heart is going to get stuff on it. Wash your heart. Let it make you new. So Christ died for us and he said, I want to wash you with the word. And we know from Scripture we can be renewed and made new by the washing of God's word. John 8:31-36, Jesus said this. He said to the Jews who believed him in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will know the truth. Where does knowing happen? Where does knowing happen? Right here. You can't be made free if you don't already know it. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answer him, and they say, well, we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anybody. And he says, if you're sinning, you're in bondage to sin, but the Son will make you free. Hey, you got a sin habit that you want to get free from? Get in his word. Amen. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Where does freedom begin? Right here. Do you know that if you don't know his truth, if you don't believe he wants to do good for you, if you don't believe he wants to set you free, if you don't believe he can help you, you won't be free. You won't, because it starts with knowing. James 1, 21 to 25 says, get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says, otherwise you're fooling yourself. Remember, God's word shows us how to live abundantly. We can't just know it. We need to also do it. But it begins with changing and transforming how we think. Remember the first scripture we read, how God said that he wanted to transform by the Holy Spirit. He wanted to transform us, and he was going to transform us how? By renewing our mind. I need you to get this. Transformation begins with God renewing this. Your life cannot be transformed by you trying harder. You have to let the Lord come in. You have to soak in his truth, and he changes it here first, and it becomes natural with what you do. God is not asking us to be fakes. And as your pastor, I'm not asking you to fake it. I'm not telling you should do this, this, and this, but inside you don't believe any of it. Inside, you're still the same. That's being a fake. And God does not ask us to be fakes. He asks us to be transformed and renewed in our mind. When I was doing this, a story came back to my mind. Years ago, my wife and I were fairly newly married, and we were at her mom's house, and her sister was babysitting one of her cousins. She was babysitting one of her cousins who was somewhere between 2 and 3 years old, and he was a handful. Like, he was a real handful. But she was babysitting him, and she was getting really angry at him. She, you know, she started yelling at this little guy, and she was just like, you don't listen, you sit right there, you're on timeout. And she was just really, really mad, and her phone rang. And she picked up her phone, and she answered, hello. And it was somebody she knew, and she's like, oh, and she's laughing. And this little guy between 2 and 3, he just got really upset, and he's shouting in the living room, she's a fake! She's faking! She's a fake! And she ran into the other room because, of course, the person on the line could hear. And I really laughed about it, but everybody else in the room was thinking it. Just the 2-year-old said it. I'm not asking you to be a fake. I'm asking you to let the Holy Spirit come and allow your mind to be renewed. And when your mind is renewed, you won't have to fake it. Because you won't be able to get that stirred up and angry as you allow God to change you. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. The man or woman who is blessed has learned to think on God's word, to let it go through his mind and her mind. The man of God who is blessed is careful about where he is and what he's listening to and hearing. The first part where he's talking about don't sit in the seat of the scornful, doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He's being careful what he's absorbing. Do you understand what I'm saying? What are you filling yourself with? Because it has the potential to affect your mind, which affects how you feel, which affects how you act. I know that sounds a little too simple, doesn't it? But it's not. It's that simple. Let me say it like this. If you're struggling with an anger issue, I don't suggest watching a lot of angry movies every night. It's not going to help change how you think and feel. But often, if that's our issue, sometimes it feels good to, you know, absorb a little bit. If you're struggling with a fear problem, you're very fearful, don't watch horror movies on a regular basis. It is not going to help. Because sometimes there's a desire to feed who we are. God says, no, let your mind be renewed. Let it be changed. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 5 says this. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, this is a verse you've maybe heard many times if you've been in church. Maybe you haven't if you've not been in church, but it is giving a picture of warriors. Okay? They're giving us a picture and then explaining something spiritual. But it is a picture of warriors who have mighty weapons who are going in there and tearing down the stronghold. And the stronghold was a protected place often high up on a hill which you couldn't reach, you know, because they could bow and arrow you as you tried to climb up, or high on a tower where it was almost impossible to get there. It was the place. If you could take the stronghold, you took the city. He's giving this picture of warriors, and he's saying, you have mighty weapons. They've been given to you by God. And then he says where the war is. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You and I are warriors. Do you know where the battle is? The battle begins here. Do you know where the war is? Because if you're fighting people, you're not fighting the right war. If you're fighting the system, you're fighting the wrong war. The war begins in our minds. And he has given you and I weapons to deal with it. So that when an imagination comes that says, oh, God isn't real, he doesn't care about you, I take the weapon he's given me and I say, you're a liar, devil, because my Bible says he'll never leave me or forsake me. Do you have the weapons? Do you know where the war is? I've seen too many people fighting a battle that isn't the real battle. Do you know that God wants you and I to use these mighty weapons and to use it where it matters most? Right here. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. It's more than you can imagine. If we fill our minds with God's word and truth, with what is good and pure, and take charge of our thoughts, we will have a renewed mind and an unshakable joy. God has plans for you and things that he wants you to bring you into, but he needs you to believe it. He needs you to be okay with it. He needs you to be willing to begin the battle where it counts the most. In your mind. You need to begin by understanding that God loves you. You need to begin by knowing that he has a plan for your life that is unbelievable. That's where it begins. Did you know that a person can't actually trust and allow God to come into their life until they first hear about it? Know it and believe it. What does Scripture say in Romans 10, 9 and 10? If you believe in your heart In Scripture, the word heart surrounds the real who you are and often is talking about your mind. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart, you first have to hear it and know it. Then when you believe it, you speak it out your mouth and confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Today, I want to encourage you. I don't know everybody here. If you've never accepted Christ, if you've never asked him into your life to make you new, you need to do that with us today. I want to let you know, and if you'll take this into your heart, your mind, I want to let you know, God loves you no matter what you've done. It says that he came and died on that cross while we were still sinners, while we were the most terrible people there was, he did it for us then. And if you've never accepted him into your life, you need to do that. He said, if you ask, you've believed it, you understand, you know what? I need him. You ask him in, and he said, I'll come in. Thank you so much for joining in with us today. Hey, if you'd like to know more about Abundant Life Worship Center and what we do here, you can check us out on our website at www.alwc.church. God bless.